This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. A historically black neighborhood in West Asheville is in the crosshairs of a proposed interstate connection project. And it's not the first time the Burton Street neighborhood has faced challenges. The community was hit by road projects in the 1950s and 1960s, and it also suffered from economic declines and drug problems. The Asheville City Council approved an improvement plan for the Burton Street neighborhood in late September. Joining me to talk about the neighborhood's past and future right now is Joel Burgess. He's a city reporter for the Asheville Citizen-Times, and he's covering the proposed road project and community improvement plan. Welcome to you, Joel.
Good to be here, Frank.
Also with us is DeWayne Barton, who has been doing some community work at the Barton Street neighborhood for more than 15 years. He is the CEO and the founder of Hood Huggers International. DeWayne, welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks.
You grew up in that neighborhood. So talk about the Burton Street neighborhood first and the neighborhood you grew up in.
Well, I was born in Asheville, and I moved away. I moved away when I was about 7 years old, and I moved back around 2001. And when I moved, when I was young, I just remember being like a beautiful wooded area that I used to come back to when I was living in D.C. just to chill out and relax. And then when I moved back in 2001, it was drug infested. It was pretty thick. And it wasn't what I remembered, and I wanted to do something to improve those conditions.
We'll talk about what you're doing now.
Yeah, right now we started this organization called Hood Huggers International, and it's designed to try to protect these historically African-American areas and try to build out the infrastructure to improve those conditions so that it'll be we can leave an inheritance for the future.
Well, Joel Burgess, a city reporter with the Asheville Citizen-Times, tell us about the programs, the projects. This is not the first time, and I do want to talk about the current project that put a road through this neighborhood, but it's happened a couple times in the past, right?
That's right, and you mentioned it, and it's part of the history of the neighborhood, really, and Dwayne kind of lived this, and I know his families and some of his neighbors lived this, too. As you talk about the 50s, we had an extension of one of the major roads through town, Patton Avenue, and then Interstate 240, which really cut the neighborhood. In fact, Dwayne was showing us some photos of right outside in the studio here of a house that sits on the edge of where the interstate was put.
So, forgive me for interrupting, sure, but please. Talk about that when that project went through. Were you living there at the time?
Yeah, I wasn't living there at the time, but we know that was part of the 1960s. That's part of the urban renewal process that happened from 1950 to 1970. And what happened here in Asheville was the largest in the southeast. Over 400 acres of homes and businesses was lost during that period of time. And it put a devastating effect on the neighborhood, and it laid the foundation for this whole drugs that sat in the neighborhood for an additional 30 years.
It cuts through there's a vibrancy, and if there's any commercial district, and was that any part of that, that gets cut into. Did people talk about that afterward? What did you hear about the way it used to be and what happened when the road went in? That kind
people
of thing.
Still hurt by that. There's still trauma with that. And then if you have a new project and people making promises and they saying we're going to do something different this time, and they remember in 1950 when Patton Avenue taken away the neighborhood and other ones, it makes it very challenging. And then you add another layer of gentrification on top of that, and you have more influx of people coming in. It really makes the environment not friendly for cooperation.
Well, Joel, talk about this latest project and what it would do.
Sure, and I apologize because we keep spinning back to the history of this neighborhood because it's so interesting. And I'll tell you about the project, but the reason one of the reasons this my ears really picked up when I heard about this is. I mean, the neighborhood was started essentially by this Buffalo soldier, this guy who was a black veteran of the American Indian Wars, came to Asheville in 1906, E.W. Pearson. And just the amount of culture and economic activity there was fascinating. And I think that's why there's this sense of loss. Looking at that and looking now at a planned Interstate 26 project to expand the interstate even farther – the area was designated, and we were talking about this term, Dwayne, economic justice community. So what does that mean? Apparently part of it is that there's some special planning done on ways to help the neighborhood deal with this new trauma. He's used the term trauma for the old Rose, deal with this new trauma of losing homes. They're estimating about a dozen homes that'll be lost. And I'll tell you, the Neighborhood Association president, Vivian Conley, she said at the city council meeting back in September, she said, when roads come, they take away people and houses and places and a sense of community, and it keeps shrinking and shrinking. And you just realize that, mm-hmm. that the houses, the people, you lose so much with that. So what this plan does, this new plan, which apparently is similar to a 2010 plan, is seek to find ways to connect the community, to remind people of the history. For example, some things that sound simple, expanding sidewalks, you know, making them compliant for wheelchairs and older folks. But really the idea there is you're making it more walkable. You're making it easier for people to walk out of their homes and see each other on the street and really pull the neighborhood together in that way. There's some gateway, some sort of very interesting sort of gateway. Not exactly what am I trying to say, not decorations, but sort of
entryways. It's kind of a structure to tell you that you're entering this
district.
That
you are entering the Burton Street neighborhood. Yeah. And Duane, too, was talking about a historic area around Smith Mill Creek, yes. where they once raised livestock. And he said it's this beautiful green area. And it's really interesting. I didn't even know it was there, but it's behind a strip mall area on Patton Avenue below the neighborhood. And he said it's gorgeous and it'd be a perfect park. So that's another proposal, is a park there linked to a greenway.
So how does that – that's part of this project now. And as you said, there's a fair amount of suspicion around these promises that go along with the construction. But what about that, making it more walkable, designating these places, pointing out some of the history? Does that do anything to mitigate some of the harm done from the construction itself?
Yeah. We want to see some dollars, some investment back into the community center. We want to put solar panels on the roof. We want to turn it into a business incubator. There used to be over 10 black businesses in the neighborhood. Now there's people operating businesses outside of their homes. But we had this underutilized community center in the center of the neighborhood that used to be the black segregated elementary school that's underutilized. How we invest dollars in that to improve those conditions. Like he talked about the greenway. We wanted a greenway, but we're going to have to settle for a park this time. I mean, there's a number of projects that was created from the neighborhood, the things that they would like to see, and we did this back in 2010, and we want to see it materialize into real, real projects.
Is there a sense that it's going to happen, and was the community consulted on this latest package that was approved? Was there a lot of input, do you think? What's your sense of it?
Yeah, there was some input, and there's been continual input. We just need to put some more sweat and some money behind it to make it happen for real.
What about you? You've created something called the Peace Gardens in that neighborhood, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What impact does that have on the community?
Well, that was one of our several attempts to try to improve the conditions in the neighborhood, because, like I say, it was drug infested. So one of the safest things we could do in the beginning was pick up trash. So we picked up trash, and then we said, okay, let's take all this trash that we pick it up and create this park that would get people out of their homes. A lot of people wasn't coming outside of their house. We can make art, grow food, and, you know, have parties and celebrate. And we've been doing it since 2003, and it's a success. It was a platform for us to launch a Green Jobs training program, Green Opportunities, launched out of the Peace Garden, and a number of other projects that came off that platform. And it just took young people and adults from all over the city to make it happen. And yeah.
Well, tell us more about Hood Huggers. What is that organization?
Well, based on the work that we've been doing over the years, we decided we started learning all the history and all the powerful things that people have been doing all around the city that goes unnoticed. And we're in Asheville, it's a tourist destination, but nobody's talking about black folks. So we said, wow, let's tap back into that history and use some of that history and those accomplishments to empower the people now to make the hustle on what we got to do around this community plan and protect us against all the other challenges, gentrification and other challenges that we have today. And Hood Huggers uses the arts, the environment, and social enterprise to do that.
Tell us more about that history and what we're missing when we come here and only go to the brew pubs.
Well,
apart from getting up early, what else do we miss?
Well, it's a lot of deep history going on the South Side and all these different sections, Shiloh, the East End community all have this thick, rich history. And now it seems there's a lot of momentum as far as putting historical markers in these areas to talk about that history. The African American Heritage Commission was formed a few years ago. The Preservation Society is doing work. So there's a number of projects right now that's building a lot of momentum to add that additional layer to Asheville. So when people come here, they won't say, well, where are the black people? They were fired.
Yeah, but some of the damage, it seems to me, has already been done in terms of the numbers of people who have left, African Americans who have left this community and are not coming back.
Still, and that's more of a reason we need to create these platforms that are going to say, yo, you don't have to leave to make it. We have to create these platforms for the young people and make it more friendly so they would stay. Or if they do go away like me, they'll come back and contribute.
Joel, can you give us an overview of the whole city? Now, we talked a little bit about gentrification and some of these demographic shifts that have taken place. Can you give us kind of that big view of what's been happening demographically in Asheville?
So the latest that we know about census data is that you've got a African American population of about 12%, mm-hmm. and that's down from a decade prior when it was 20%. And it's not the interesting thing is it's not just in percentage. In real numbers, the number of black residents has also gone down. So yeah, you've had the city that has grown tremendously over the last 10 years. We're now at about 90,000, I believe. But you have this African American population that just doesn't feel like it's part of the new Asheville, of the growth that's happening. And so, you know, in talking to some older black residents that I know, they have children that, like Dwayne, left. They went to a larger city, maybe they went to college, and they just didn't feel a reason to mm-hmm. come back. Unlike Dwayne.
Well, one of the things that you're doing now that you're back, Dwayne, is giving tours of Asheville, showing us again a little bit about what we're missing. What do I see on that tour?
Well, we talk about the history, we talk about what's going on right now, and we talk about groups and individuals just trying to create a path for the future so that you can continue to come in and do tours 10 or 15 years from now.
And are there particular, like, forgive me for interrupting, but are there particular sites that I should know about and histories along the way that you could tell me right now? That
Stevens Lee, Stevens Lee High School is now Community Center, Shiloh, the Eddington Center on the south side, Burton Street Community Center. These were all power blocks for African Americans here in the city.
Was there a sense, you know, we talk about, as Joel mentions, maybe a sense of not feeling a part of, and you mentioned it too, not feeling a part of this new growth in Asheville. But what was it like? I mean, you talked about it, this is a segregated city. Mm-hmm. It had been. Were African American did African American communities ever feel a part of what white Asheville or the growth of Asheville, the life of the city?
I think they created their own in their neighborhood. They created their own space. In their communities, and they was left alone. And that's why, like, it's a map that shows all the different businesses, black businesses that used to be in these particular areas and the family that people felt in these different communities.
And now you talked about the Peace Gardens, the fact that people were coming out, people had been afraid, but there were events that brought people together. Is there a growth? Are people feeling, those who have remained, a sense of optimism about what might happen?
I mean, it's a lot of young African-American people who have moved back, who's taken up the mantle and trying to carry the ball forward. It's a lot. And the goal is, how do we all connect the dots together mm-hmm. so it's not like one painter on the portrait?
Joel, as somebody who covers the city beat here in Asheville, what's your sense of how seriously all this is being taken at the city level?
Well, there are programs. There are things that are being started. There is a human relations commission that has been created. There is a equity department that has been created. There's money that's actually been spent. So the fact that they're spending money, they're staffing it, I would say that's a sign that it's being taken seriously.
And the Isaac Coleman Initiative, that's investing dollars back into these grassroots organizations and communities.
Is that a city initiative?
That's a county initiative.
Okay.
Yes.
And gentrification, that came up, and obviously that's a problem everywhere in the state and around the country. Anything being done here to at least address it, if not mitigate?
It's hard to talk about Asheville, not talk about real estate. And in talking about real estate, you talk about affordability and people who've lived here while getting pushed out. That's something that was a major concern of residents with the Burton Street community. And in fact, part of the plan is how to address gentrification. There are some ways. It's tough. Local government's hands are tied in many aspects. But one thing they talked about was the ability to zone to prevent extremely large houses, for example, coming in and being built. It's really quite a change if you think about it. You have Duane talking about a serious problem with drugs. Drug infestation, in fact, is the word that he used back in the late 90s, early 2000s. People afraid to come out of their homes. And now you go into Burton Street and there's million-dollar homes being built? I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars, let's just say, being spent on homes, right?
$450,000.
Okay, half a million-dollar homes. I'm exaggerating. But still, a half a million-dollar home, right, you know, in this neighborhood suddenly being built. So what do you do? You've got the market pushing people there, but it is possible. The city can take some steps. The city can protect people in terms of property taxes. There are a few ways they can do that. And they can do some zoning to try to keep house size sort of in scale with the neighborhood, I guess, is one way you could say it.
I want to thank both of you for being on our program today. Duane Barton is the founder and CEO of Hood Huggers International. And Joel Burgess is also with us. He is the city reporter for the Asheville Citizen-Times. Thank you both so much for being on the program.
Great to be here.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things. Of course, you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org, a program produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, Robin Copley is our technical director, Lee Wilcher, Dick Cole, and Jenny Lawson helped out today. And special thanks to Blue Ridge Public Radio and staff, Barbara Sayer, Matt Bush, David Feingold for hosting us here in Asheville. And, of course, the program is from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.